A reading from Amos? I think not. The first reading is from Amos 5, verses 18 through 24. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. Why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light. As if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your festivals, and I take note in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Reading Psalm 70 responsively. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Let those who seek my life be put to shame and confounded. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune draw back and be disgraced.
Let those say to me, aha, and gloat over me, turn back because of their shame.
Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say forever, great is the Lord.
But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me quickly, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the 1 Thessalonians, first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We do not want you to be brothers and sisters about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with words. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the banquet. and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also saying, Lord, Lord, to us. But he replied, Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated for our miracle community presentation.
We always joke is better than Obamacare, Trump care, anything you guys have going on in this country. But it does find children in the community that need assistance. In addition to that, we run a private school, Eden Christian Academy. We use accelerated education homeschool curriculum, and it's rewritten for the African continent. Our children do very well on that. Our kids come to us 5 years behind generally, and they need heavy remediation to get caught up. Once they finish their ACE education, they score very well on SATs. They're fluent in two languages, in English and Shona, and they are certified literate in all the Microsoft Office products, and so it creates opportunity for them. In addition to this, we farm 357 acres to feed everybody, and by the time we feed our orphans, our staff, and their families, we're feeding 800 people every day, and so we go through mountains of food. We know we're going to go through 1,100-pound meal every day of the year, and 400 eggs, and the list goes on and on. And it's always disturbing to me that we actually eat 296,000 eggs in a year. But you know, God is good. He provides for us. We want to share a message this morning that's very central to what we're doing with the sheeple, but it applies to all of us as believers. And so we want to talk about our identity in the kingdom. So who do you think you are? Where does your identity come from? You know, sometimes it's from our ethnic identity. My great-grandparents were Old Orthodox, so part of my ethnic identity is being jerked over Amish, I think is what the term is. Sometimes, especially for men, it's the occupation. I was a registered landscape architect before we went to Africa, and that was my identity. Sometimes an illness determines our identity. I had open-heart surgery 5 years ago. I'm a cardiac survivor, and so that was part of my identity. Sometimes it's tragedy. In 2001, our eldest son, Joel, was killed in a freak accident. He was 20 years old, and for many years, I was a grieving parent. That was my identity. And then it may be our faith. We're Christian, we're Muslim, we're Buddhist, whatever. But, you know, who do you think you are? Okay. Now, for the African people, identity is much more critical than it is for us in our culture. And the first thing to remember is family is everything. Now, I want you to think about the warmest thoughts you have about Christmas, Thanksgiving, those times when the kids together and everybody, you have those really good, warm, fuzzy feelings about family. Multiply that by 20. That's where the Africans live every day. The relationships are everything. And the first layer of identity is being African, being born on the African continent. The second is being part of a tribe. We work predominantly with the Shona tribe. And that tribal identity is very important. Within the tribe, there are clans or totems, and these clans are family units. In the African culture, you never marry out. You always marry outside your totem. You don't marry within your totem because you're distantly related. And some of the totems are more powerful than a crocodile totem is far more powerful than the monkey totem. And so there's a whole pecking order with that. And down to the family unit. But it's always viewed in multiple generations. If you ask a Shona person, how is your family? In their minds, the one who's living and the generation that has just died, because they are animists. They believe that those dead relatives can eat them or destroy them from the grave. And so most animists live in absolute terror all day of offending those dead relatives in the fear that those relatives will destroy their lives. And so it's quite a thing. Imagine for a moment that you're an orphan. All these layers of identity are missing. And in the African psyche, to have your identity lost like that is one of the worst things that could ever happen to a human being. It's a terrible. And so that's where we start. We want to get a grip on who we are in the kingdom, and we want to turn to the book of Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. Long even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness poured out on us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his Son, and our sins are forgiven. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan in Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us from the beginning. All things happened just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was that we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise our God. And now you have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us everything he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. So we want to focus on who we are in the kingdom. So let's dig into this a bit. The first thing we're told is that we're blessed. So who's doing the blessing? It's the Heavenly Father. And what a blessing? It says it's every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. It's endless. It's beneficial in every way. It's uncorrupted. Why? Because we belong to Christ. If Jesus' work is finished, we're the most blessed people who have ever lived on the planet. Susan? Next, we're loved. And it says, even before he made the world, he loved us. Now, that's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it? Father's affection for you has no boundaries. How many of you had fathers that either could not or would not love you as a child? Any have a rough go of it? I certainly did. How many of you heard over and over again in your childhood, you're not going to amount to anything? I certainly heard that many, many times. And one of the problems we have is that we see God the Father the way we see our biological father. We project the mistakes that our earthly father has made onto our view of our Father in heaven. We want to get past that this morning. Now, some of us view God as having a big fly swatter, okay? And he's just waiting for you to make a mistake, and they smash you like a bug. Anybody think of God the Father that way? Whack. I told you not to do that. Whack. It's not the way we do things, you know, on and on and on. Well, we don't want to believe in a fly swatter God, do we? Now, some of us take an opposite approach. What we'd really like is a 2-inch God on a leash. Sit. Stay. Come over here and bless me. You know you want. Okay, I'm blessed. Go back into your corner. Stay. That's not our God the Father either, is he? Our Father God's not like that. He's entirely positive. He's beneficial. He's nurturing. He's edifying. He's good. Everything he does is for good. It's always for your good. Okay. Next, we're chosen. Again, even before he made the world, he chose you. That's the one I want. I want her and I want him. We've been chosen, but we've been chosen for what? It says we're chosen to be holy. Now, how many of you think holy is perfect? Okay? I'm not perfect. Anybody out there perfect? It carries more the idea of being set apart for a special purpose. Okay? Just set apart for a special purpose or being complete. The other phrase that's in this verse is without fault in Father's eyes. Now, how many of us want God to see us without fault? I certainly do. And one of the problems we have, we're so used to hearing that little voice in our heads telling us, you can't be God's child. Look at what you did. He can't love you. His people don't do those things. You'll never be his child. But we have to remember the evil one's intent is to steal, kill, and destroy. The evil one sometimes uses our own voice inside our heads to rob us of the freeing truth. We are chosen and we are without fault in our Father's eyes. He tries to kill our faith and destroy our identity in Christ. He tells us, resist and he will flee. Next, we're adopted. And I love it that it says this is an unchanging plan. If God changed his mind all the time, where would we be? We wouldn't have any hope at all, would we? But Father did not change his mind when you sinned. He did not cancel the adoption because you screwed up. And to be adopted means to have the full rights of a biological child, a full inheritance. This is good news. We're brought to the Father through Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the way and found a way to bring us home forever. It gave God great pleasure. He did not do this out of obligation. He didn't do it under stress or under duress. He has a great of delight and pleasure. Father could not wait to adopt us. Next, we're pitied or mercied. The two Greek words we want to focus on are a noun and verb. Charis is graciousness, benefit, favor, a gift, or grace. Verb form keratao is to grace, to endue special honor, to make accepted and highly favored. And that's what the phrase wonderful kindness is talking about. Wonderful kindness Father has poured out on us. Now think about that. Has Father bestowed his grace on us with an eyedropper? Is that what this verse is saying? You know, here's a drop. There's a little tiny drop right there. There's a little grace. And then a little later on, there's another drop of grace. That's what this verse says, is it? Father pours out grace. We're drowning in grace. We're covered in grace. His grace is in abundance. Grace because we belong to the Father's dearly loved Son. This phrase, rich in kindness, means our freedoms are forgiven. No bankruptcy with our Father. He's rich in way. He's never stingy, always generous, giving to us in a lavish kind of way. He showered us with his kindness and his grace, along with wisdom and understanding. Next, we belong. As human beings, we want to belong. We want to be. We want our lives to have meaning, don't we? Now, our orphans at Eden are desperate to belong. And what the community tells them continually is that you do not belong. You're a waste of resources. You should be the personal slaves of extended family members. You don't deserve fed, let alone educated. And we tell our children that Eden is your family. You have a family, a godly family in Eden. And for your information, you are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Your orphan is not your identity. Now, some of us were told as children that we did not belong. They were not good enough to belong, too messed up to belong to this family, too big a disappointment to belong, too screwed up to belong. We're emotionally amputated, and that hurts. But we still have the need to belong, and God is telling us, you belong. Next, we've been purchased. And what does it mean to be purchased? Well, I went to my dentist in North Carolina. And you know, God has a sense of humor. You know, sometimes by word of mouth, he sends us to certain people, just the right people for the situation. And our dentist in Goshen, Indiana is Bob Barker. Let's make a deal, okay? Our dentist in Spindale, Carolina is Michael Jackson. You know, you can't make this stuff up. It's too weird. But I had a filling that had come out, and I got a shot on my face, and Dr. Michael Jackson told me, well, it's going to take 15 minutes for this to take effect. I'm going to give you a test. And I thought, oh, great. So he said, what does the word Lord mean? So I gave him all the Sunday school answers. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. So then I gave him the Bible college answers. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. We went on and on. And I think, okay, you numbed my brain face. And finally he said, what is a landlord? I said, well, a landlord's an owner. Well, Jesus is an owner. And, you know, being owned is not politically correct in our culture, but it's actually the truth, and it's good to be owned. At ownership, we're set completely free. And we have to remember the purchase price was unthinkable. was unthinkable, but Jesus was willing. Okay, Susan? Next, we're saved. And the Greek word here is teria, which means to be rescued, saved, or delivered. You have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness. You've been rescued from false ID. You've been rescued from hopelessness and despair. And you've been rescued from yourself. I'm my own worst enemy. I don't know how you guys are. But you have been from slavery and brought into freedom. So we have been saved, literally saved. Next, we're guaranteed. Now, if I have purchased a $2,500 computer, I want to guarantee that if there's anything in that thing, that they're going to fix it and make it right. But this is much, much bigger. We carry the King's seal. We're marked as. This guarantee is unchangeable, it's irreplaceable, it's unrelenting, it's wholly encompassing every part of our being. This guarantee is not anywhere. It's here to stay. And you know, Jesus described the Holy Spirit as another Jesus, but the amazing thing is, it isn't Jesus beside us, it's Jesus inside us. No one can take him away from us. No one can diminish his presence inside us. With God inside us, invincible. It's a great thing. Next, we're treasured. And we have to ask the question, why did Father purchase us? It's not that he tolerated us. He wasn't complacent in helping us because we're pathetic. He values us because we are treasured possession. And in the Hebrew, it's the Am Segula, the treasured people. We're valued beyond our wildest imagination. I long to be valued. I want to be valued. We all want to be valued. And this verse is telling us we are very much treasured. There's one more reason to praise our glorious God. Now I want to go to a verse in chapter of Ephesians, 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, a masterpiece is not a haphazard accident, and it's not a half-hearted effort. When you look at a masterpiece, the creator uses the most valuable materials to create something absolutely unique that will never be duplicated in history. Okay? Think of Michelangelo and some of his sculptures. Okay? And this verse is telling us that you are a masterpiece. Now, how many of you feel like a masterpiece? How many of you feel like a piece of work, like my friend in New Jersey always says? Yeah, we're in the piece of work category, aren't we? But in God's eyes, you are a masterpiece. You will never be duplicated. It's an awesome thing. What we want to do this morning is embrace our true identity. We want to throw off the false identities. We want to take on the true identity. We want to take on those roles. And we have to remember, Father is so good, he's even better than you think. God did not have to help us. But he did. God did not have to save us, but he did. Everything is for our benefit and our good. Forget the fly swatter God. He doesn't exist. Forget the 2-inch God on a leash. Not going to happen. Our Father is amazing. Now, I'm reading a book right now by this title by Bill Johnson, and I don't agree with Bill's theology, but he has two ideas that are just tantalizing to me. The first one is that God loves to hide things. Hide them from us, but hide them for us, because he takes great delight in our sense of discovery, in discovering his attributes, his love, and his goodness. And that's something to think about. Another thought he has is that it will take every minute of eternity to discover and explore all the good things that God has created for you as an individual. That he has so much waiting for us when we get home. God is so good. Now, another thing we have to remember is that Jesus did all the heavy lifting. You know, we live times like we have to earn our salvation. We could never have saved ourselves. When we're lost in sin, we're pathetically helpless, but Jesus made a way to bring us home forever. His blood paid a ransom. His resurrection secured our rescue. His Holy Spirit gave us our safe arrival home. He's done all the hard stuff. Everything has been done. Jesus' work is finished. The abundant eternal life he's given us starts today. Now, I run into people every once in a while who have the mentality they're treading water. You know, just if I could hurry up and be dead, then all the good stuff's going to happen, okay? And that's not how we want to live, because it's not the truth. All the good things that are in the blessing that Jesus has for each one of us has started already. Then what does it mean for us today if we are truly blessed, loved, chosen, adopted, graced, we belong, we're saved, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, we're treasured, and we're in peace. That's a lot of identity there in one little passage of Scripture. So what does it mean? First, it means that we're a bride. We need to live a life worthy of our destiny. And this is the beauty of the book of Ephesians. The early part of the book tells us who we are, and the latter part of the book tells us how we live up to that new identity. So let's embrace that. Paul tells us how to live up to our identity. Now, we're going to be citizens of the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. Let's start acting like it. Let's imitate Jesus' example. Let's bring people into God's kingdom of light. Let's enjoy and revel in our citizenship in the New Jerusalem. Now, if you look at Scripture, what this place that's going to be home for us has an amazing description. 600 miles wide, 1,600 miles long, 1,600 miles high. It's huge. The streets are of transparent gold, gold that you can see through. The walls are stacked gemstones, 200 feet thick. These are single pearls, 210 feet in diameter. It's beyond anything we can imagine. It's just absolutely stunning. And we need to think about how wonderful eternity is going to be, and we need to embrace that destiny. We're going to live life on a very grand scale. It'll be 100,000 times better than anything we could imagine. No pain, no tears, no sorrow, no pangs. We'll have joy inexpressible. It'll be the greatest family reunion in the history of the universe. We'll have unhibited and unrestricted worship of our King. It's overwhelmingly wonderful and good. Everything will be restored to God's original design. When we start talking with our Shona brothers and sisters in Christ about their new identity, we have had the good fortune of many of them escaping animism. And animism is a prison like you cannot believe. And when they escape animism, they have tremendous joy. But before we finish off today, I want to share the story of the very first orphan to us, because I want to make sure you understand just how wonderful our Savior is. Alexandra was 10 years old. She had known AIDS when she came to us. She was a very, very sick little girl, multiple illnesses. We did not have access to antiretroviral drugs. We knew that we would die over a period of time. We didn't know what kind of time we had with her. In talking with her, we discovered that her mother was a prostitute. She started selling her as a three-year-old. She was sold from 3 to 10. She was abused on a scale that Susan and I have never seen. And Susan and I have worked with abused kids for years now. Never have we seen a case of abuse like Alexandra's. And Alexandra was bright enough to realize that her childhood was completely abnormal, and she was never going to live long enough to grow up to be an adult. And she was livid. She was bitter. She was angry. She had every right to be. She was cheated absolutely everything. So we've got this very angry and bitter little girl on our hands. And we start praying, Father, please, please give this child some grace and peace in the dying process, because she's eaten alive by bitterness. And the answer to that prayer was beyond anything that we had asked. She was typical of a lot of AIDS patients. She had a lot of skin sores in addition to internal illnesses. She had a really bad place in her left arm that wouldn't heal, and Dr. Guzai said, I want to cut a one-inch cube out of her arm. We'll get that out of there. We'll pack it with iodine and cotton. We'll get that cleaned up. And so Alexandra had the surgery one morning at Makonde Christian Hospital, and Alexandra and her house mother were waiting outside Makonde Christian Hospital. They were waiting for Susan to come pick them up so that Alexandra could go home and rest for the rest of the day. Alexandra got really excited. She said, Auntie Hesha, can you see? And Hajpuri said, Alexandra, I don't see anything. What do you see? She said, I see Jesus in the clouds. He's smiling. He says, it's okay for me to come home now. And from that moment forward, she was not bitter. She was not angry. She had that peace that passes all understanding. She died 4 weeks later, more grace and dignity than anyone we've ever been with. I don't know about you, but I want to serve the kind of God who's willing to show up, if necessary, to bring a wounded daughter home safely. That's the kind of Savior I want to have. And it's amazing that the great privilege of being an eyewitness to Jesus intervening over and over and over and over again in the lives of our kids. And we're here to say thank you face to face. Your donation with VBS a couple years ago is significant. It has great impact. It's affecting thousands of people in Doma, Zimbabwe, and don't ever think that because you're in this little town in Illinois that what you do is for the kingdom is insignificant. It's ultra significant. And we're here to say thank to Basa Shamwaterwedu. Thank you so much, our good friends. We appreciate your involvement in our ministry. We thank you for your generosity, and always looking for churches and individuals who will partner with us. We're still taking in babies. We had a little guy that was buried alive that came to us just a year ago, and he's going to need care for a number of years. But we're here to say thank you. God bless you. We appreciate everything you've done for us. Thank you.
Thank you, and we will turn to hymn 488, Soul, Adorn Yourself with Gladness. Please stand as we confess our faith. Look together In trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Welcoming God of righteousness and mercy, let us pray with people of every time and every place. I ask you to respond not what it says in the bulletin, but when I say, Lord, mercy, you say, hear our prayer. Awaken your to be ready to respond when Christ meets us in the cries of those in need. We lift up the church's mission of care through Lutheran World Relief and other agencies such as Eden Ministry. Lord, in mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for natural resources like oil, coal, trees, water, and wind. Help us to use them wisely. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Answer the cries of your people and nations caught in war and destruction. Hold in your care all of them and their families. Ease the burden of tough memories and bring restoration and wholeness. In your mercy. Shine your merciful and healing light on the dispirited places of our minds and souls. Bring hope in the midst of danger, depression, and illness. We especially pray for Delma, Ruth, Mary, Eric, Mary, John, and Ron. Lord, in your mercy, bless those who prepare for marriage or who have been married in this place. Strengthen all bonds of friendship and relationship and unity. Give us joy in life together. Lord, in your mercy, give thanks for those in our midst who are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Sean, Ron, Twyla, Huntley, Chris, and Grant and Amanda. Keep us alert for Christ's coming, sustained by the promise that we will be reunited with all the faith that died. Thank you for their lives of witness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive prayers and the hopes and concerns of our hearts, O God, as we entrust into your loving care all for whom we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Share Christ's peace with around you. Peace be with you, Ken. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you. And with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thanks for your help. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Judy, peace be with you.
Peace. peace, Pastor.
Peace.
How you doing? Just a little bit. You can listen. Liberty stuff going on with the people. Hi. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
On behalf of Christ Church, all the parishioners here, we are so thankful for you kind people to be with us today. Last night, we gave half of our thank offering to these kind people. We have a basket in the back of the church for offering for anyone that would like to give. Last night, we did the same thing. So I have another envelope to present to these kind people on behalf of Christ Lutheran Church. And again, we all say thank you.
We will continue with the offering.
Accept, O Lord, the gifts we bring to place upon your altar. But as we're able, the vines were planted, seeds were sown, they
let us pray the offertory prayer. Creator God, you made everything, and you provide for every need. The bread we break and the wine we pour come from you. As we eat, drink with thanksgiving, fill us with your love to others. And join us to the saints before us in a holy and boundless communion through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The love of God surround you, grace of Christ release you, and the Holy Spirit be your guide and strength now and forevermore. Amen. Number 638, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! His nation, purchase of God, full of the Spirit and His blood. This is.